Welcome to the Awakening Church podcast. We pray this message encourages you and provides the hope and light of Jesus Christ. Thanks for tuning in. Good morning, Awakening. You can find your seat. Good morning, good morning. I am definitely one of the people who makes my children match me on Easter. I haven't bought anything yet, but we'll see. Good morning, Awakening. My name is Ashley, and I'm one of the pastors here, and this is my friend Melissa. I'll introduce her more in a moment, but I want to give us a little roadmap of where we're headed this morning. In our teaching calendar this year, we're being really intentional about sharing stories and testimonies of how God is working in the lives of the people in our church community. The main way that Jesus taught his disciples and the people was through stories called parables. He would encounter someone or something, and then he would teach by telling a story. This morning, we're doing something similar. We're going to hear what the Lord has done in someone's life, and we're going to turn our eyes to Jesus. In January, we got to hear Shadi Khalili's story of faith, and today, Melissa is going to share her extraordinary story of how she has seen God work in her life in a really miraculous way over the last 8 months. We're in a series leading us to Easter called Knowing God. And through Melissa's testimony, we're going to hear how she experienced God both in the height of crisis and through his people showing up in the aftermath. As you're listening, notice what God might want to teach you about himself through Melissa's story and through your own connection to the family of God. So before we get started, let's pray together. God, I thank you for everything that you have done in Melissa's life. God, thank you that she is here telling her story. Lord, would you cover her with peace as she shares both what happened and also what you have done through it. God, would you inspire our hearts and our minds to be focused on you and what you're doing in our own story. Jesus, may you have all the glory. Amen. So there's so much I could say about Melissa to introduce you to her. Many of you already know her. But I would like to say that she's one of the most delightful people that I've ever met, that I've ever known. And her heart for serving God's people seems to be never ending. And it flows right out of her relationship with the Lord. But instead of me going on and on about how much I love her, I'm going to turn it over to her to let her introduce herself. So, Melissa, tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do for work? What do you do for fun? How did you come to know Jesus? How long you've been at Awakening? All of those questions.
All the things, all at once. All right. Well, obviously, my name is Melissa, and I have been attending here at Awakening for just shy of 10 years, and I have the pleasure of serving on the Connection team. I greet most Sundays for second service, and I also co-lead a small group, and I volunteer in a couple other capacities here at Awakening. And for work, my day job, I'm in human resources, and I work for a logistics and transportation company. For fun, I do love walking my dog, spending time with friends, hiking, serving, and my hobby, which you're going to hear more about, is dirt biking. And I, in terms of my growing up, and so I grew up here in San Jose, and I grew up in a Christian home, so I accepted Christ as a little girl and then was baptized as a child as well. And I have really fond memories of Sunday school and youth group. So my faith has always been a very important part of my life.
Yeah. So dirt biking.
Dirt biking.
I just learned this. And the whole room, did you hear? They like audibly responded to this. So you're in for a good story right now. 2025 was a significant year for you, and it centers around this hobby of dirt biking. So can you walk us through what happened?
Yeah. So I have been riding with a Christian dirt bike riding club for about 14 years now. My big brother got me involved a while ago, so I have him to thank. And so part of it for dirt biking for me is obviously riding the motorcycle and like learning that skill, and also just being out in nature. I really enjoy that. So I get to enjoy nature and ride a dirt bike. But also I'm part of a really great community of believers. The name of our club is called Racers Under the Sun, S-O-N, Sun being Jesus. And I just have the great pleasure of being a part of that community as well as my awakening community. And so we put on events and we spread the gospel to the motorcycle community, and we have fellowship and we do, you know, camping trips and things like that. So I've been doing that now for 14 years. And this summer in August was just another summer. It was just another August, and we were heading up to one of our favorite places to camp, where our club does an annual trip. And it was actually where I learned to ride a dirt bike too. And so yeah, we were camping and fellowshipping, and that morning I headed out on my dirt bike with my brother and a couple of friends, just like I've done for 14 years. And we were heading down a trail, and it was a pretty challenging trail, but it's something I could handle. And the next thing I know, I am barrel rolling down a ravine. I'm experiencing something I've never experienced before. My body is rolling, and I'm just wondering, when is it all going to end? When am I going to hit the bottom? And that was the accident. So essentially, I come to the bottom of the ravine, and I come to, and I'm aware of where I'm at and what just happened. And I know that I'm alone, because I know that my friends and my brother didn't see it happen. And that feeling like starts to set in, but the Holy Spirit was very present with me in that moment, and he was so gracious to me, and he just guided me to know what to do to take care of myself. And in that moment, I was at the bottom of the ravine. It was estimated about 100 feet down. And there was a little creek and rocks and sticks and twigs and what would you imagine at the bottom of a ravine, right? So I'm laying there and I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's next? And the Lord just prompts me to roll out of the creek and reminds me that my cell phone is in my backpack. And he prompts me to take my cell phone out, and I put it on a rock. I slide the SOS button, and the rescue people, the dispatchers, by the grace of God, answered the call. Their satellite signal in the middle of the forest. I was in Northern California in Auburn in the Tahoe National Forest. And so what a relief. You can imagine the relief that they pick up the phone and I hear the woman reading the coordinates to the gentleman on the phone. So then I know that they know where I am. I didn't really know exactly where I was or what was happening, but they knew where I was. And the woman says, "Make yourself as comfortable as possible. We're sending help." And it's like, okay, make yourself as comfortable as possible. Yeah, that's what's going through my mind, right? But I'm taking her seriously. So I remember taking off my chest protector. I'm pretty sure my helmet and all the other gear, I don't even know where it all went, but I laid the chest protector down and I laid down on my back, and yeah, I took her advice. So I made myself as comfortable as I could. I don't really know how long I was there. It was probably at least 2 hours. And the Lord was just so close to me during that time. He helped make the time pass. Honestly, obviously I was hurt, but I didn't have any clue how badly I was hurt. Nor was I really thinking about that, because the Lord just took over my mind and just kept me from going into the place of anxiety that I would normally be prone to going. So some time passes, and eventually my rescuers do come. And I still remember them coming down the ravine. They did not come the way I came. They found a much, much smarter way to get down, much easier on their bodies to get down. And I just remember seeing them. I just raised my hand, and I was like, praise God, right? Because my rescuers were there. And they do what they're trained to do, right? They assess my situation. They place me on a board and they strap me in. And they're, and assessing the situation, they look up and they see my dirt bike is hanging quite a bit higher up on the ravine. It turns out that my bike got caught up there, but I'm the one that rolled all the way to the bottom. So they wanted to make sure that we were all safe, and just in case the bike did dislodge off the side of the mountain. So they put us all in a safer place while they're looking around trying to figure out, okay, how are they going to get me out? So they were not able to airlift me out of the ravine because of all the tree, the canopy of the trees. So they figured that they're going to have to get me out of there. So there were about 8 very, very strong men, and they got to work, and they strapped me in really tight, and there's this thing called a Stokes basket. So they put me in this basket. It essentially has like handles and railings around the side so they can grab it. And they just started to lift me out of that ravine, again, probably about 100 feet up. They did have a pulley system or something that they were using toward the end to help them out. God bless them. But that's not the end. That they just got me up to the trail where I fell off. So then it was about another mile down a single track dirt trail, bumpy trail. So they put the Stokes basket on a wheel, and they took turns helping navigate and wheel me out. So that was about a mile. And then they brought me up to a fire road. So a fire road is exactly what you're thinking it is. They're cut through the forest in case there's a fire so that firefighting trucks, and in this case, ambulances, can get in and assist. So they brought me up to the fire road, and that's where my brother and my friends found out what happened. See, they just thought I was lost because they couldn't figure out where I could have been because my friends were ahead of me and my brother was behind me, but nobody saw the accident. They didn't see me go down. So they had gone back to camp and got other guys, and they were searching, just madly searching the trails for these hours, and they didn't know what had happened to me, but they did happen to be at the fire road there where the ambulance was. And then when they eventually I came up and they found out it was me, in fact, who was injured, and I wasn't lost. So I remember one of the guys from the dirt bike club just reaching his hand in the side of the ambulance and just letting me know he was there and that they're praying for me. So the ambulance took off and down another dirt road, and then we went to a place called China Wall where the helicopter could land. And obviously, because of the nature of my injuries and the trauma and the amount of time I'd been down there and how far away I was from any hospital, being out in the Tahoe National Forest, obviously the best way to get me out of there was a helicopter. So they put me in the helicopter on a hot August day. It was a very interesting experience. I don't recommend it for anybody, but it's a great way to get to the hospital if you need it. So praise God for that service. So yeah, they flew me to the hospital, and that's a very surreal experience. If anybody watches those hospital shows in the trauma center and they're bringing the people in, yeah, I was the one laying there with the neck brace, with completely stuck in there, right? And my only experience was what was on the ceiling and what was directly above me, because they had no idea what the extent of my injuries, so they were keeping me all snugged in there. So yeah, they ran all of the tests and the x-rays and the scans, and they let me know that I had broken 3 vertebrae in my back, I had fractured some ribs, and I had broken my ankle. But by the grace of God, my spinal cord was not injured, my head was not injured, I had a lot of great gear on. That didn't sound great to me, but the fact that I didn't injure my spinal cord, and they were very clear with me that this is something they were very skilled at fixing. So the next morning at 8 a.m., they wheeled me in to surgery, and I was in surgery all day. They did back-to-back surgeries, one on my back and one on my ankle, and I was in the ICU in Roseville in Northern California for 6 days. It took a little bit to obviously post-surgical, and just to make sure that I was stabilized. And so while I was there, obviously I told you I'm a native San Jose, right? I wasn't anywhere near home, but I had the blessing of some friends from my dirt bike club and some family that live up there that they came to visit me and pray for me and love on me. So yeah, that was 6 days. And then I was cleared to go home. But as a single lady living in a condo with stairs, that wasn't going to be my next destination. It wasn't going to be to my current home. So I went to my original home with my parents, who were so kind to have me back in the house I was raised in. Except for this time, it was in a hospital bed in the living room, not my bedroom. So I was able to recover there with their love and support and with so many people.
Man, praise God that you're here.
That I'm here.
Walking.
Yes, and then I'm walking. Yes, that's a miracle in and of itself.
Yes.
Seriously. Yeah.
So let's go back to the moment where you're first at the bottom of this ravine. You've just rolled down the side of a mountain. You're laying there significantly hurt, though we'll hear that you didn't totally know that yet. But what you do know is that you're completely alone.
Yeah.
So share a little bit about how you experienced God in that moment.
Yeah, yeah. God showed up really quick, really quick. In fact, I was just thinking about the song we were singing about the army of angels, and there were an army of angels there that day. No doubt, no doubt, no doubt. There were an army of angels there watching over me and protecting me. But the Holy Spirit was just so close to me and so gracious and so merciful. He gave me the experience of the peace that surpasses understanding. This was obviously a very traumatic and terrifying situation, especially to be alone and so far away and to be hurt, but my mind didn't go there. It just didn't go there. Instead, the Lord was just so gracious to me, and he just helped me focus on what is it that I needed to do to get help, right? And so, like I shared, just helping me remember I had my phone and remembering to use the SOS button, right? Instead of just laying there and not having any resources. So he was just so gracious with that. And just with the pain, I did not experience excruciating pain. I would imagine, or I've been told that I should have, and most people are in a lot of pain. And when they were asking me about my pain levels, I was rating it a 6. Although it doesn't help that the guy said, oh, a 10 is if you got run over by a car. So I was like, okay, I think I come in at about a 6 because I just fell 100 feet down a cliff.
That's all.
I mean, that's it. I literally was like, I can't tell this guy that I'm a 10. I didn't get hit by a car. I mean, so surely this isn't that bad. So the Lord was just very gracious to me with not letting my mind go to those places that I would normally go. I tend toward anxiety, I tend toward control and wanting to have all the answers, and I didn't need all the answers because I had the one present with me who did, and he had the way, and he was there, and he comforted me. So the peace that surpasses understanding is an amazing feeling, and having that at a time where there was nothing peaceful about where I was at. And instead, the Lord was just so merciful to me in that moment and going forward. And the rest of the story, which you'll hear, is just completely filled with his mercy and his love for me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so beautiful. So you shared with me once you were out of the ravine and beginning that recovery process, the impact of your community, of Awakening community, your dirt bike community, and a few others. So how did people from Awakening and others step in and support you during that time?
Yeah, well, right away, you know, folks knew that I was coming home, so they drove me home in an ambulance because it's a long way from Roseville to San Jose, and I wasn't quite in a position to drive myself. So got home, and there were already people lined up. Literally already people lined up coming in the house. I had a friend here who's in the audience today who brought dinner for our family. I had some friends from my dirt bike club who graciously came equipped with a walker. Why? Because this gentleman has already hurt himself multiple times. He was here in the first service. He was also injured in another dirt biking accident, because this is what we do. So we come alongside each other, right? And so when somebody breaks a bone, they show up and they brought me a walker, and they brought their presence, and, you know, them. Just having people there already knowing what I was going to need was a huge blessing. So that's just day one. As I mentioned earlier, I'm part of a small group. And at that time, there was this lovely woman as part of my small group who is an occupational therapist. And she knew exactly what to do when her friend was down. So she came by several times a week for the first week or two to help me get situated. So if y'all didn't see me in those glory days back a couple of months ago when I came to church, I had a back brace on, very restrictive, and I was non-weight-bearing on my leg, both of those for about 10 weeks. So I had no bending, no lifting, no twisting, no fun, no nothing, right? I was really in a position where I needed a lot of help. So my friend from our group knew exactly how to help. So she came and she provided me with some pointers and some recommendations on different things I could buy. She helped me shower. Guys, if you've been in a dirt biking accident and then in the hospital for 6 days, a shower is a very lovely thing. And when you have a broken back and all the things that I shared with you, showering is a very challenging thing. So just the gift of helping me figure out how to shower and get me all those things that I needed was one of the first things, but I have a list of many more. Next was the Awakening Meals Ministry. The Meals Ministry was so, so helpful to me and to my family. As I mentioned, I was living with my parents at the time, and just knowing that that's just one less thing that we had to figure out. What are we having for dinner, right? And so there were probably 3 or 4 nights a week where meals were provided, and sometimes there was so much extra that we could have leftovers. So the meals ministry was so, so, so helpful, and just knowing that people were praying for me and thinking about me and caring for me and just being generous with their time and their money. Some people slaved over a hot stove and made a meal, and some people had food to DoorDash to me of a restaurant of my choice. So it was so, so amazing, and just really filling a very practical need for food, and it goes a long way. After that, I mean, goodness, eventually after a couple weeks, I was able to come to church, and yet I wasn't able to drive. It was a long time till I could drive. So people volunteered to bring me to church, which was just so helpful. I didn't really want to watch church from home. I just wanted to be here with my people. So getting a ride to church was a big deal. I received countless flowers and cards and sweet gifts from people from the connection team and other people. I mean, so many cards, so many flowers, treats, and just so many things. There was just so many generous acts of service that people did for me. Most days I had visitors, or every day I had visitors, and I remember people were asking me, like, what can we do for you? Can we bring you anything? And it was just like, bring yourself. Just come spend time with me. For those who know me, relationships and friendships are just super important to me, and I just love being with people. So having people there with me to hear me tell my story for the 100th time, and to pray for me, to play games with me, was just super helpful and helped pass the time. You can imagine, for somebody who's quite independent, works full-time, and then is now stuck for at least 5 weeks, 6 weeks, not being able to do much, it's super helpful to have people come and visit. People came and did me a great favor by pushing me in my wheelchair around the neighborhood, because it was summer and it was nice out, and I just get me and the dog out for a walk. So something simple like just pushing me in the wheelchair around the block, playing games with me, having meals with us, was just so, so sweet. I had members of the prayer team come and pray for me and love on me, so that was amazing. Also, were y'all wondering what happened to my dirt bike? Is it still there? It's not there. It's not there, because there were some really nice gentlemen from another dirt biking club up in Northern California or Nevada area who, when they heard about it, and let's say the dirt biking community is a small, tight community and word traveled fast. So these guys were like, They were down for it. They were up for the challenge, or down for the challenge, to go in the ravine and get my bike out. So as I'm healing, I don't really care about it. One of the guys from my dirt bike club's like, yeah, this other club, they're going to go get your bike out. I'm like, my first response was, no, they don't need to go down there. They don't need to get hurt too, right? Of course, I didn't want them, but they were pretty insistent. So they had a good time. They sent me a video afterwards of them pulling it out. They had their pulley system, and they were chatting it up and having a good time. So obviously it was fun for them. And then somebody from this community just shows up at my parents' house one day. I have no idea who this guy is, and he starts talking a mile a minute and coming in, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I have no idea who you are. And he's like, oh, I'm so-and-so. I'm from the Nevada County Woods Riders, and I have your dirt bike here. And I'm like, oh, great. So he drove it all the way from Northern California, from Auburn, or they had a series of people, I guess, you know, doing their part and getting it back to San Jose to drop it off to me. So, wow, right? I mean, these people volunteering to get my bike for me who didn't even know me. And lastly, there was one day where most of the Awakening staff came to my parents' house, and they just loved on me and they blessed me. I remember Dave texting me. He goes, "Okay, yeah, well, I'm going to bring some people from church by." And I'm thinking, "Great, maybe two or three people." And I open the front door, and they keep coming, and they're parking, and they're coming. And I was like, "Whoa, okay, maybe we need to go in the backyard where there's more room." So I think there was like 9 or 10 people that came one day, and so that was, I just felt so loved and blessed by the staff coming to hear me.
Man, I love hearing how so many people showed up for you in so many different ways. Yeah. When we originally had some guiding questions for this conversation, the next question was, what did you learn about the community of God? And you immediately said to me, I always knew that they would show up. Isn't that beautiful? You already had this great confidence that God would use his people to care for you. So instead, would you share with us the importance of the church community and being fully a part of it? And what can we learn from your experience of the importance of being in community?
Yeah. Well, I knew, I always knew that the body of Christ would be there to care for me if something ever happened. I never doubted it. First of all, because I've been here for 10 years and I've seen it happen countless times for other people. And I have also invested time in my group and with others and building relationships, and all of the people are just so loving. So there was never a doubt in my mind that my needs would be taken care of through the body of Christ. So I love serving other people and giving of my time, but I had not yet been in a situation where I needed to be on the receiving end. So that was a little interesting at first. So it took a little bit of an adjustment, but it was just a little bit of an adjustment because I remember how much joy it brings me to give and love on and serve other people. And then it was like, well, of course they're doing it because they want to love on me and they want to serve and they want to give, and it brings joy to their hearts to serve also. And it's like, well, then why would I stand in their way? Let the blessings flow. So it was just interesting to be on the receiving end, but such a great blessing. I've heard it said that the church is the hands and feet of Jesus. And yes, that is so, so true of many churches, but especially here at Awakening. The church, everybody, so many people here were just so generous to me and so caring and loving and went out of their way over several weeks and praying for me. I was definitely covered in prayer for so many weeks. And during my whole recovery, I mean, it's been about 7 months now, so I definitely feel the power and the impact of the prayers from everybody. Yeah.
As we close, what is final encouragement that you want to share with our church body?
I have two pieces of encouragement I want to share. The first is, get in community. Get in with a group, a small group, or some other faith-based community, whether it's here or somewhere else. I've shared that I have two, right? I have the dirt biking community and here, so I'm double blessed. But you have no idea how much blessing you will receive, by being in community and how much of a blessing you are to other people. So especially in a small group environment where we're meeting weekly and we're reading the word and iron sharpens iron, right? So it goes both ways. You bless others with your gifts and talents and you're in community, and they will bless you too. So I just want to encourage, if you're not in a community, to take that step. We have groups and lots of other great ways to get involved. And the second word of encouragement is, God is a God of mercy. He is so full of mercy, and he is so full of love for us. And that day, that experience was a very personal experience for me of God's mercy and his love and his peace that surpasses understanding. And he wants you to experience him in a very personal way, like the way he met me. And I just encourage you, you can't do it all on your own. You can't do much on your own, actually. So let him love you, let him be merciful to you, and just sit and receive that mercy that he has for you, because he loves you and he just wants you to experience him in that way.
Oh, amen. Amen. Melissa, thank you for sharing your life and
welcome.
Your story with us this morning. Can we thank her? So we're going to transition back to a time of worship now. And as you sing to the Lord, or you are simply sitting in his presence, reflect on what the Spirit of God might be speaking to you this morning through the testimony of God's peace and mercy that you heard. Where were you encouraged or inspired? What's one thing that you want to do this week as a result? As you heard the story of what God has done, what might be God showing you that he wants you to know about him or about his people? So would you stand with me as we pray? And then we'll go back into worship. Oh, merciful God, thank you for protecting Melissa. Thank you for protecting both her body and her mind. God, thank you that she is standing here in the process of recovery. But Lord, we believe for full healing because that's what we see that you are doing. So God, thank you that you have had mercy on her, and thank you that you are now using her story of faith, of what you have done, to inspire others. Oh God, would you lead each of us to know what you want us to know about you this morning? God, would you bring that to mind? Would you guide us, and would you guide our very next step to know you more and to step more into your community? Lord, reveal yourself in this time of worship, and may you be glorified by our singing. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Please subscribe to our podcast for access to every episode as they're uploaded. And hey, we'd love to connect with you. Take a next step by filling out our virtual connection card at awakeningchurch.com/card.